Bibles to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 1. For those of you that haven't been here, we've been trying to work through this first chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and of course we have found out that Ezekiel is the writer of the book upon seeing visions of God and receiving the word of the Lord. He is the writer of the book. He had a message to take to five kingdoms, and the Israelites included with that, and certainly great vision he saw, and as we're getting into the vision of God that he saw, is certainly a great vision. We've been working with verses 4 through 14, primarily working with verse 4. Eventually we'll be getting through the other verses. We want to read that portion of Scripture now. Verse 4 of chapter 1, "And I, Ezekiel, looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. They went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning." If we saw something like that today, we'd probably run, wouldn't we? What kind of a deal is this? But keep in mind here that this is Ezekiel's vision of the Almighty. Ezekiel's vision of God. What is portrayed here is the magnificent God, the omnipotent God. Ezekiel was under the power of God. He was under the Spirit of God. He looked, he saw, he perceived. He didn't close his eyes, he didn't try to ignore it. But the thought is that he hearkened to the vision that he was seeing. He looked. Remember, we said that when God is going to give us a vision, and he gives us a vision in his word. That's the way he speaks to us today, is in his word. But he gives us visions of himself from his word. All through this word, we can see the greatness and the majesty of our God. Specifically, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. What a blessed picture that we get as we read and study and avail ourselves to the Word of God, as we avail ourselves to the preaching of the Word and sharing with brothers and sisters in Christ from the Word of God. But we are to hearken. Remember, we looked at the passage in the book of Exodus in chapter 15, and he told his people to hearken. If you'll hearken to me, hearkening means to remember what we said. It means to hear intelligently. To hear intelligently with obedience. Hearken signifies hearing, but not just hearing, but it signifies an action with it, an action of obedience with it. Not an action of rebellion. In the book of Leviticus, we looked at that portion of Scripture in the 26th chapter, and he told them what would befall them if they did not hearken. In Proverbs chapter 8, again, he told us to hearken. But what was it Jesus told his apostles when he sent them forth? He told them, "Whosoever heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, he said, despiseth the Father." In the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 47, he says that if you hear his words, then we're of him, we're of God. But if he that does not hear intelligently, does not hearken, does not listen to the words of God, is not his. Is none of his. We began looking at the thought of the whirlwind. And we looked at how it was used in Scriptures, and in Scriptures it's used as a figure of destruction. It's also used as a figure of quickness, speed in Scriptures. It's figurative of God's anger. God pours out His fury in a whirlwind, like a whirlwind. It's figurative of the omnipotent power of God throughout the Old Testament Scriptures. But how, and the point we come to tonight is how is it used in our passage of Scripture? Well, to find out how it is used here in our passage of Scripture, you have to look at the Hebrew word. And in verse 4, you see here, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north." A whirlwind came out of the north. Well, the word whirlwind here is ruach. The Hebrew word is ruach. And it is translated spirit. It is translated wind. It is translated breath. It is the same word used in the book of Genesis. Turn with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 1. We have its first usage in the Word of God in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And in verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And the Ruach of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Ruach of God, the Spirit of God. Turn with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. In verse 3. And the Lord said, My Ruach shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. 378 times this word is translated in the Old Testament. 378 times. 232 of those times, it is translated spirit. Now, I don't want to give you the wrong impression. Not is it always used in reference to the Spirit of God. It can be the spirit of man. You see. But the word we're looking at is Ruach. 92 times, this word is translated wind. Wind. The book of Genesis, chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah. That is, Noah, his family were in the ark, along with all the animals that they had taken in. And God remembered Noah and everything, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The waters begin to abate. They begin to subside. The spirit, the Ruach, blew, and the waters begin to subside. It is also translated breath, 27 times. Breath, 27 times. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. In the setting of the 15th chapter of Exodus is after the children of Israel had been led out of the land of Egypt. God had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And you remember they came to the Red Sea. And there's the Red Sea in front of them. And they look back and there's Pharaoh's army coming at them from behind. And what are they going to do? Well, it says that Moses was to stretch forth his rod over the water, and the waters, God brought a wind, and the waters stood up. Well, now Moses and the children of Israel knew what that wind was. It was the Spirit of God. It was the breath of God. And the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus is after that deliverance, after they had gone through the Red Sea on dry ground, and Pharaoh's army had been destroyed in the midst of the Red Sea when the waters came crashing on them. They wrote the 15th chapter, which was a song of deliverance that they wrote. In verse 8, this is what they had to say. And with the blast, with the Ruach of thy nostrils... So they're talking about the breath from the nostrils of God. The waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. You see. It is definitely in our text. Chapter 1, verse 4. This is definitely a vision of the Almighty God. He saw the Spirit of God. You got to remember, he's seeing a vision of God. told us in the first three verses, it's God. And so the whirlwind, the ruach of God, is what he saw. He saw the Spirit of God coming out of the north. Listen, when God is revealing himself, when God is giving us visions from his word, whether it be in our own devotional time and study time at home, or whether it be in the services of the Lord and the Word of God is being preached and proclaimed and taught, God is trying to give us a greater vision of himself. We must look. We must look with inspection. We must hearken. We must take it in. And we must listen to the Word of God. I'll have you turn now to the book of John, chapter 8. The book of John, chapter 8. And I referenced this verse as having read it a couple weeks ago. So I want you to behold it with your own two eyes. Verse 47. He that is of God heareth. Oh, by the way, that's not a one-time hearing. That's not a one-time hearkening. ETH tells me that. It's an ever-present hearing of God's Word. Ever-present. Continuing. And the modern translations, all they want, well, hears. Just take the ETH off and put an S to it. That S don't convey the ever-present that the ETH portrays. He that is of God heareth God's Word. He has the capacity for hearing, and he continues to have the capacity to hear, and that hear acts in obedience. He takes it in through the ear canal, and he is obedient with his life to that which he hears. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. You don't have the capacity to hear. So you don't hear because you're not of God. Now, I didn't say that. God said it. So, thank the Lord, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself speaking the word. We know if you got red letter edition and black letters, we know that even the black lettered letters are the sayings of God, do we not? Holy men of God wrote as they were inspired of God, as the Spirit of God moved them along. So, Ezekiel's whirlwind was God coming to him in a vision. That's what he saw. Now, also in verse 4, we have, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. A great cloud. Notice that it does not say, and a great cloud. I think this cloud was moving along like a whirlwind. This cloud was the Spirit of God. In this cloud. I guess the nearest thing that I can liken it to is you ever been down to the ocean, and you watch the wind blow clouds off of the ocean onto land? We call it fog. Well, that's just clouds that have settled real low. And they come across on land. You ever watch the wind blowing them along, or maybe it might even be blowing them out to the ocean. Don't think I've ever seen it blowing them out into the ocean, but I've seen them blowing in off the ocean. This cloud. But notice that this cloud was a great cloud. A great cloud. Well, yeah, our God great, is He not? Our God is great. There's a saying, you know, and most people use it when things are going good, they say, God's good. In other words, when everything worked out the way we wanted it to work out, God's good. Well, let me tell you something, God's good even in the bad. It's hard for us as humans to really lay hold of and comprehend, isn't it? We don't see how that something that feels so bad can be good. But God said it was. And God is good to His people. But a great cloud. Listen, it was a great cloud. It is... The cloud is spoken of in Scripture as God's tabernacle in which He rests. His chariot in which He rides. It is darkness and thick clouds. Turn with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 18. The book of Psalms. In chapter 18. And look with me here at verse 11. He made darkness His secret place, His pavilion. Round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Listen. No eye has seen God. But by the eye of faith, He dwells in His secret places. You see, and we only see Him with the eye of faith. And sometimes we're permitted, because of faith, we're permitted to see Him shadowed in the cloud. His glory, well, we'll get into that, but His glory is encased in a cloud. Turn with me to the 104th Psalm. The 104th Psalm. In verse 3, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds His chariots? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? You see, the clouds are... cloud. He's said to be His chariot, which He rides in. Thus, consider this law. God holds back. He holds back the glory of His presence. He holds back the glory of His throne, lest its splendor, its brightness should overpower us. That's not so hard to understand, is it? You just think about it. We're in the flesh right now. And sometimes I get to just bubbling, I feel like I'm going to burst. You know, God shows me something that's so great. What if I saw that clearly? No shadow cast. I couldn't contain it. I would burst. We in this flesh can't handle Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus. We would die. We would die. Exodus chapter 19, and I'm just going to be careful what I read here right now because I don't want to get into to another point here. But verse 9 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come to thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever." And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. He said, "I come to thee in a thick cloud." Why? Because it couldn't handle the glory of the Lord. There were bounds set at the base of the mount, and they weren't allowed to go beyond that, lest they die, he said. You say, well, what about Moses? Well, let's look at what about Moses. Turn with me to the 33rd chapter. Look at verse 17. You recall Moses said he wanted to see the face of God. He wanted to see the glory of God. And look what in verse 17. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face." You cannot see my glory. Moses asked to see his glory, and he said, "You cannot see my face. You cannot see my glory. For there shall no man see me and live." We're not able. We're not suited to be able to. We can only see him by faith, and we can only see him in a cloud, veiled. "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand, while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face, my glory, shall not be seen." See, we can only see, we see through a glass darkly. We see through this flesh. And it has to be hampered so. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians now, to show you that this is true. That it was, you saw it was true with Israel. Now to see that it's true with us, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And look with me now at verse 12. "For now we see through a glass darkly." He's veiled right now. We can only see glimpses of his brightness, glimpses of his glory. But then, face to face, oh, when we stand face to face, "Now I know in part." Right now we only know in part because of that glass darkly, that veil that covering, that cloud. But then shall I know, even also as I am known, even as He knows me, I shall know Him. I shall face to face. I shall see His glory. Oh, and that is our hope of expectation, is it not? As the day that we stand and behold Him face to face. Now, moving on in verse 4. That's not all to this vision. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. The fire. The cloud is accompanied with a fire. It's a revelation of God. Just as in the burning bush. Just as upon Mount Sinai. This fire, though, is, well, we'll get to that. Let's deal with this. We're familiar with the burning bush, but let's turn there. Let's look at it. Chapter 3 of Exodus. In verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Here God is in the fire, we see. Turn with me now to the 24th chapter of Exodus. 24th chapter. And verse 16. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. So here we have two places. God's in the fire. He's in the cloud, shielding himself, and in the fire. Here we have Ezekiel seeing the cloud and a fire. They're coming out of the cloud. Now this fire, it says it was a fire enfolding itself. A fire enfolding itself. The idea is a wrapping, a clasping. It's enfolding itself in the cloud. Why? So that you can't see its full full luster, its full glory. It's enfolding itself. It would be like taking something in the hand. You know, there's a covering there. You can see part of it, but you can't see the whole thing. It'd be like taking fire in the hand. You see part of it. If I was holding a candle up here and my hand was, the fire was enfolding itself in my hand. The fire of God's glory shines forth, but it quickly enfolds itself. Think about that. Isn't that so true? Say, see great truths from God's Word and they bless your heart, bless your soul. And how is it that we can go away and in a short time it loses its luster? Loses its full glory. It quickly enfolds itself. But even at that, it's just think about that getting excited about seeing something. And yes. But it's fleeting. It's quick. Oh, but it's great. It's rich. Don't know if I can fully explain it, huh? He only lets us know part of His ways. We read there in Exodus chapter 33, and Moses, you cannot see my face. You cannot see my glory. My glory will pass by, and I'll put my hand over your face. And then, as I pass by, I'll remove my hand, and you can see my back parts. You see, we can only see part of God's glory. 1 Corinthians 13, where we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And when we stand face to face, then we shall know as we are known. What a glorious thought that is. Not this sinful flesh to hamper anymore. We'll be fitted with a body that is able to take in the full glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our great God. Compare the thoughts from Exodus chapter 33 and the thoughts from 1 Corinthians 13. Let's look more closely at that example we have in Exodus, the 19th chapter, in considering this thought. Exodus, the 19th chapter. And in verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all of the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Listen, they couldn't take the glory of the Lord, and they would have perished to look on the full glory of God. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And then God in chapter 20 speaks unto them. And as he speaks unto them, we saw in chapter 19, it's like great thunderings. God spoke unto him. And when God gets done laying down his law, the next few chapters and so forth to the people said, we don't want God to speak to us face that way no more. We don't... They were afraid, you see. They couldn't handle it. And that was just through a glass darkly, you see. We cannot handle the full glory of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 29 tells us this in verse 29. Says, the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You see, this is what God has revealed to us, and this belongs unto us to know, to read and to study and to know of the Lord, and to get those glimpses of Him, and to see some of the brightness and the glory shining forth from that cloud. But there are things that will not know this side of glory. Turn with me to the book of Job. The book of Job. Chapter 26. In verse 14. Lo, these are parts of his ways. After Job expounds some of the mighty acts of God, the creations of God. He says, Lo, these are parts of His ways, but how little a portion is heard of Him. But the thunder of His power, who can understand? You see, we couldn't comprehend it. The full revelation of God. This includes His wrath. No man can stand against God's wrath. And right now we see little bits and pieces of God's wrath poured out. In like the small localized floods in West Virginia a year or two ago, in South Carolina this spring, I believe it was the Mississippi flooded up through there. We see it in tornadoes. We see it in hurricanes. These are just some of God's ways in His wrath. Turn with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 2. But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. Here, speaking of His wrath coming. Who's going to be able to stand in the day of His great wrath? Well, we'll quit there tonight. Next week, we'll continue on with this thought of the fire enfolding itself out of the midst of the cloud. All right, shall we stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer? Brother Mike, would you dismiss us, please?